And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. There is power in the Word of God, and it's just amazing. You know, as I read the Scriptures, I come again and again and again to the same wonderful words written in different ways. It's like God wants us to know these things so much that He's written them in all kinds of different manners and avenues. Now, I want to talk to you about something very special today. You know, I had a gentleman very recently who I met, a very nice man, a very, should I say good man? Of course, the Bible says none of us are good. But I guess as far as men goes, he was a good man. He was from India. He was from India. But he's living here in the United States with his family. And I asked him if he were a Christian because he was going to a Christian church here in Austin. He said, yes, I'm a Hindu Christian. A Hindu Christian. Well, as you know, Hindu is a faith. It is a religion based in India. Has many hundreds of millions of adherents to it. And I know very much about Hinduism. And I realize that Hinduism is a varied religion that has many gods and goddesses. In fact, it's been said that there are millions of gods and goddesses in the Hindu faith. So, you know, this man sort of astonished me. He didn't really, because I know of this circumstance, but it was an interesting statement by him that he is a Christian, but also a Hindu. And I, not wanting to insult him, and I did not insult him, but within a few minutes, I said, well, now, you said you're a Christian. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Oh, he said, I have great respect for Jesus. But also for Krishna and the Hindu deities. Well, I smiled and asked him about the Hindu rat deity. There's a sect of Hindus who worship rats, or the god that covers the rats. And of course, Kali is the great cobra snake goddess, the serpent goddess. Yes, he said, even those gods are the ones whom I worship. Even those gods are the ones whom I worship. He answered very quietly with a smile. Now, can a person be both Hindu and Christian at the same time? No, absolutely not. God will not share his divine authority with any other so-called God. Such an idea is preposterous. Yet, the mixing of gods or deities is commonplace in the world today. Now, I hear all the time people use a term that, I mean, I hear Christian pastors all the time say this term. They say America is a Judeo-Christian country. Well, isn't that a little like saying America is a Hindu-Christian country? America is a Islam-Christian country? You say, oh, no. The Jewish faith is different than the Hindu faith or the Muslim faith. It's okay to say Judeo-Christianity. And some even would say they are themselves Judeo-Christians. There are many people today that are in something called the Hebrew Roots Movement. They want to reach their Hebrew roots. Now, they're not even Hebrew themselves. They're not Jews. And even the Jews today seem to be Khazars. They're not Jews either. But they want to reach their Hebrew or their Jewish roots. They would protest to me, there's nothing wrong, Tex, with my calling America a Judeo-Christian nation. Or am I saying I am a Judeo-Christian? Well, I want to propose to you today that saying such a thing is blasphemous. It's blasphemous. You're combining two religions. One that is true. One that has Jesus Christ as its head. The other, which is led by Satan himself. And Jesus has no part of the Judeo religion. Now, I know that you didn't mean it. You didn't mean to be blasphemous. But you still are. And that's why I wanted to do a program today in which I explain to you what is wrong with calling yourself Judeo-Christian or terming this nation of ours, America, a Judeo-Christian nation. Now, I've heard pastors give sermons which they say, you know, to talk about the Judeo-Christian roots of America. But let's look at this thing. Can a Christian become a Judeo-Christian? Are we really a Judeo-Christian nation? Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Antioch is a city in Greece. And it seems until that time, they were converted Jews or whatever you want to call them, but the term Christian had not taken hold. But at Antioch, it began in the days of the Apostle Paul and Peter and so forth. And men began to very proudly call themselves Christians. They were of Jesus Christ. They were Christians. Now, the Bible tells us to be very careful, to be very guarded, to love and honor and venerate the teachings and doctrines of Jesus, to care about his kingdom. For we're members of that kingdom, we're citizens of it. But there's nowhere in the Bible that I can see in the New Testament that it says that Christians were ever called Jews. Now, there were Jews who by their flesh, of course, were born Jews and they remain Jews. If you're an American, you remain an American, even when you become a Christian. If you're a Mexican or a Uruguayan or a Nicaraguan or a Canadian, you don't change from that. when you become a Christian, nor do you when you're a Jew. But you cannot take your faith and combine it with something else. When you tell me I'm a Canadian Christian, I readily understand that being Canadian really has nothing to do with your Christianity. That's just an accident of your birth or maybe your naturalization. If you say I'm a Mexican Christian, I understand you're a Mexican in flesh, but you are born again in Jesus Christ and thus you're a Christian. I don't confuse the two at all. A Mexican Christian is my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. A Jewish Christian is my Christian brother or sister in Christ. But a Judeo-Christian is something else. There you have combined the Judaic faith with Christianity. A man who's a Jew who says, I'm a Jewish Christian, I have no problem with, of course. Well, I'm a Scottish man, so I'm a Scottish Christian, I suppose. But my Scottish race is not going to take me very far. It's going to take me maybe another 10 or 20 years on this earth, and then for the rest of my life, throughout eternity, I'm going to be a Christian. I will no longer have a body of a Scotchman, or a Scottishman, I guess you might say. Now, it's an odd and repugnant mixture of deities to be both spiritually a Jew and spiritually a Christian. In fact, I want to propose to you that it's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. A man who is a Jew in religion, spiritually, when he becomes a Christian, he is no longer a Jew. He may be physically, but he is no longer a spiritual Jew. Now, there are all kind of terms people call themselves. I'm a completed Jew, or I'm a whatever. But they're not. They're not a completed Jew. You don't take on Christianity and become completed for anything. You don't leave your Jewishness in terms of religion with you when you become a Christian. You're born again. John 3 says you're born again in spirit and in truth. If you're born again, you can't bring the other life with you. This is what Nicodemus, one of the high priests of the Jewish religion, didn't understand. Jesus told him, you must be born again. And he said, well, I can't go back into my mother's womb and come out again. And Jesus says, you're a high priest and you don't even know this basic thing. You don't even understand the difference between Jewish and Christian. When you become a Christian, you're born again. All things become new. Now, you can't go back then and grab onto the Jewishness or the Hebrew roots when you're a Christian. Now, I'm not saying there's certain cultural traits or characteristics we will have. I'm an American, and maybe I will worship a little bit different than someone else. But my doctrines won't be different, because the doctrine is of Christ. The Bible won't be different, because the Bible is the same for every man. Well, let's look at this just a moment. You know, Christianity is a pure religion. It is a pure religion. It is the only true religion. All the others are fakes. They're hoaxes. They're of the devil. That includes, of course, the Jewish religion, which is known as Judaism. Jesus said that Judaism, as practiced by the Jews, is satanic. That's what he says. So if you say you're a Judeo-Christian, you're saying I'm part satanic and I'm part of God. That is an impossibility. That's like saying I'm a murderous Christian or I'm an adulterous Christian. No. You may be a murderer, but that has nothing to do with your being a Christian. Because Christianity is pure and undefiled. O generation of vipers, Jesus called the Jews. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Friends, a Jew, spiritually, cannot be good. He will be evil. He will speak bad things, deceitful things, traitorous things. Murderous thoughts will come out of his heart. Ye serpents, Jesus said, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? They could not escape the damnation of hell through their religion, through their law. Because from the day Jesus spoke to them of his kingdom, their law was vanishing. That's the exact term the New Testament uses. It says it's vanishing. Because they have a new and a better covenant. That's what the Bible says. A new covenant. Let me tell you what that covenant is. It is Jesus. I don't know of any place in the world where it says the covenant of the Christian faith. There's no book like that. There's no testament. There's no dictionary or encyclopedia. There is a Judaica encyclopedia, and I suppose there are Christian encyclopedias. But they're all men's works. Because the only covenant is Jesus Christ. It's sort of like these commercials, got milk? Well, there you go. But he's greater than milk. Now the Jews said, we have a religion of the law. But Jesus said, you don't obey the law. Instead, what you are obeying or are trying to obey, he said, is the tradition of the elders. The tradition of men. That's what your law is based on. Eat not, taste not, all these things. They saw his disciples out collecting or gleaning some food out in the fields. They said, well, Christ, they didn't say that, they said, Jesus, why are your disciples breaking the law? This is the Sabbath. Why do they gather food on the Sabbath? Theirs was a man-made tradition. I suspect it was okay for the Son of God to gather food on a Sunday or a Saturday or any, any day of the week he desired. He said that the Jewish religion was not only man-made, but it was, quote, full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Man, now think of those two words. This is what Jesus branded the Jewish religion. Your religion, he said, is man-made based on the traditions of the elders, the rabbis, and it's full of hypocrisy and iniquity. In fact, Jesus likened it to men walking on graves, not even realizing the dead were under their feet. Unmarked graves. You ever walked in a cemetery and as you walked about, you made sure you didn't step on a grave. It's just a matter of courtesy, isn't it? Good manners or whatever you call it. I know they're dead. We know they're dead. That's just dust down there. Still, you don't walk on them. Well, the Jews were doing, they were walking all over the dead. Full of hypocrisy and iniquity, wickedness. Now, the Jewish Encyclopedia tells us that the Judaic religion, or the religion of Judaism, as practiced in the days of Jesus, is the very same religion of the Pharisees that is practiced today. Someone told me, well, now Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, not the Jews. Yes, he was talking to the Orthodox Jews of his day. It's the same religion. Pharisees are Pharisees. In fact, today they're more wicked than they were back then. Is that possible? Could they be more wicked? They were full of hypocrisy and iniquity in Jesus' day. Could they be even more so today? Yes, they could, and they are. Jesus said, your religion is of the devil. Now, they said, well, wait just a minute. We're not of the devil. We're of Abraham. Abraham is our father. We have never been in bondage to any man. Well, that's prideful, isn't it? We have never been in bondage to any man, they told Jesus. Abraham is our father. Now, first of all, that's a lie because they were in bondage, were they not, to the Egyptians. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. But they were too proud to admit it. Jesus, though, said something quite interesting back to him. First of all, in one place he said, if you were of Abraham, if you had the faith of Abraham, you'd believe in me. But as far as this, they're not being in bondage, he says, a person who is in slavery to sin is in bondage. See, the people of this earth, the people of the United States, they don't consider that they're servants. They say, we're free. We're a democracy. We're a republic. We have a constitution. We're free. We're equal. No one can take our freedom. Why, we'll get our guns and we'll go after them. We'll fight them. We'll do whatever we need to do to protect our freedom. They don't realize they're already in slavery. They're in bondage. Whoever you're in bondage to, he's the slave master. Who is he? What is his name? It is Satan. You listening to me, dear friend, if you don't have Jesus Christ as Lord, you're in bondage. Bob Dylan, the famous singer, had a song once, said you got to serve somebody. It might be the Lord, or it might be the devil, but you're sure going to serve somebody. You don't know, do you, that you're in bondage? But you have a slave master. And if God is not your master, then you better obey your master. You better do whatever he says. Because God has nothing to do with you. God will not protect you from the devil. God will not protect you when the devil's associates come and want to have you as their possession. There was a movie some years back called Of Human Bondage. Famous book. This man, he became fascinated with this woman, and it was a fascinating affair, I guess you might say, but it ended up in bondage. He was in bondage to her. He did everything she told him to do. Of human bondage. He wasn't free. He was in bondage to Satan, and Satan put this woman in charge of him. Satan puts a lot of people in charge. He has a lot of foremen, a lot of supervisors, and managers. This is a heretical religion of the serpent himself. And in fact, my study of Judaism of today, the 2014, tells me, shows me, proves to me that the Jews worship Satan himself as the serpent. Now that may seem incredible to you. You say, well, I don't believe that. I've heard rabbis on TV talking about God, and they don't worship him. They worship the serpent. There's even a book written by a rabbi. I've got a copy. I read it recently. It's entitled The Serpent Within the Serpent. What does that mean? The serpent within the serpent. He said it's the Jewish people that are inside the serpent. They are inside the serpent. They are the serpent. But they're inside a greater serpent than themselves. It is this serpent who is their master. He is called Leviathan and Behemoth, and he, the Jews in their Kabbalah, believe and understand will be their great deity who gives them messiahship of the whole world. That's right. The Jews will be their own messiah. Having rejected Jesus Christ, they say the serpent will make us a great nation. The serpent will come and give us the kingdom. They're even going to have a great festival on Passover. Now, a lot of these Christians out there, they worship all of these Jewish high holy days, one of which is the Passover. Jesus did too. But you have to understand, they've made the Passover quite evil today. They have focused all of the hatred of Judaism on Christianity today. And so on the Passover, they worship the serpent. Now that may seem too incredible. I'm just telling you the truth. And someday they say we will have the great festival of the serpent, of Leviathan, and we will eat the serpent. We will eat him. Jesus said, this is my blood. This is my flesh. Take this in remembrance of me. They say the serpent is our God, our deity. We eat the serpent. We become the serpent. Therein lies a mystery for you, my dear friends. Judaism is even more wicked and vile than in Jesus' day. It's blasphemous. Even its festival high holy days are perverted. It is a witch's brew of demonism and sorcery. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. And when we come back, I will prove that to you. We will go over some of the characteristics of Judaism. And then we'll see what the Bible says about it. You're listening to Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. We're examining the evangelical heresy of Judeo-Christianity. I'll be right back. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's really one of my favorite books. It's my favorite book because I put into it so much of what I knew to be true about Judaism, the Jews, their history, the six-pointed star, and what its meaning is. This is the book that will tell you what the Kabbalah is all about, what the Talmud is supposed to be. This will tell you the truth about Judaism, about the supposed Judaic tree of life, and even about the serpent, their true God. They are, in fact, the Jewish people are the serpent within the serpent. It's an incredible story, but it's all true. And, you know, I don't take my own word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. I research and I quote all the rabbis. I quote all the rabbis. You can learn what the rabbis have to say. Did you know that the rabbis even say, in fact, one of the most famous of all rabbis, Moses Hesud, he said numbers are very important in the Judaic religion, and especially the number 666. The number 666, said Rabbi Hesud, has lofty messianic potential. Lofty, that means high, messianic potential. Well, the Bible talks about the Antichrist, the beast with the number 666. But you know, Revelation 13 of the New Testament does not say that he has lofty messianic potential, but that he's a devil. Well, I've told you that Christianity has nothing to do with Judaism, does it? Now, I want you to have a copy of Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, one of my most important books. We're offering it for just $25. It's a big, big book, 432 pages, but they're about the size of three books. It's about three or four books all in one. Just $25. Add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Incredible book. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. $25 plus $5 shipping and handling. A total of $30. Ask for it today. And you'll be glad you did. Just phone us toll free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Or you can write to us and send us $30. Say, Tex, send me that big old book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. We'll get it right out to you. Our address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, 1708. What's 1708? Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Our phone number here, you can call us during the week. Use your charge card and order this book. That'll get it to you a lot faster, is 1-800-234-9673. And now let's return to our regular program. You're listening to Power of Prophecy with Tex Mars, and we're examining the evangelical heresy of Judeo-Christianity. You know, most people who use the term Judeo-Christian really don't know what they're saying. They're not blasphemous people. They're good people. They just don't have the understanding. And that's why I'm doing this program today, to help them with the understanding. Because I think they're doing damage to the kingdom of God by mixing the things of Satan and the things of the Lord. Now, we have to know who the children of God are and who are the children of the devil. Now, in Romans, we read this. It says, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Boy, I like that, don't you? Think of that. You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you're an heir. You're his heir. Every father has some possessions, some things of value, doesn't he? You're the heir. I mean, God has a lot of valuable property. Salvation, for one thing. You even have a city. He's got a whole city up there. Heavenly Jerusalem. Just think of that. You're an heir. You go up there and you can just walk the streets of gold and say, this is my city. You're an heir. Wow. Now, you're also a chosen people. Oh, no, Tex. Now, I know you're confusing the Jew and the Gentile. We're not chosen. Really? I guess Peter didn't know what he was talking about, did he? The Apostle Peter, he says to the Christians, he says, you're a chosen generation, a chosen, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Well, Christians are peculiar. We're different. And you're chosen. And you're a royal priesthood. You even have a high priest. His name is Jesus Christ. I did tell you have to serve somebody. I don't mind serving Jesus. It's acceptable. It's perfect. It's wonderful. You ever had a boss you loved? You said, boy, there's no one like this guy. Well, sometimes you find out they have clay feet, don't you? You know, you're wrong about it. But I've never been wrong. Ever since I've come to know and love Jesus Christ, I've never been disappointed in him. Ever. Well, Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. There it is, a divine promise. You can be a Jew, you can be a Gentile, you can be a black, a Mexican, a South African. You can be a white Norwegian or Swede. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If any man hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in. In fact, Jesus opens the door that no man can open. That's in the book of Revelation. And he shuts the door and no man can shut it. Or, excuse me, can open it. I have that right on my wall. You walk into Power of Prophecy Ministries, and there it is, right on the wall. I've got it. That's what it says. He opens the door. No man can shut it. He shuts it and no man can open it. That's what I like. I like to have a master. I like to have a master that opens doors for me. I've had people write to me or phone me or curse me and say, well, I'm not going to open that. You're not going to go in there. You're not going to get this or that. I'm going to cut you off. You're not going to be on this radio station. Your book is going to be a flop. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. I just keep on going. And you know what? God opens doors. When one door closes, I tell Wanda, we're about to see a blessing. I've just had a door closed to me. I mean, this so-called opportunity has been shut. And then I like to look around. It's not very long till God opens the door. Somewhere there's a bigger door for me. He opens it. Has he ever done that for you, friends? Listen to me. He only does it for his people. You're a chosen person. You're a peculiar people. You're not like the other people. Some people say to me, Tex, why are you alive? You do all that. You publish books that no one will publish. You say things that no one could possibly say and get away with. Well, what do you mean? Why am I still alive? Jesus opens the door and no man can shut it. No man can tell me what to do but Jesus. No denomination, no church. I'm not 501c3. Recently somebody wanted to know if we were 501c3. I think they wanted to give us a large gift. We don't get many large gifts. That would be nice. But when he found out we were not, well, he never gave it. I guess he wanted some kind of a tax receipt. Well, start looking. The door's going to be open soon. See, it's not that he closes the door. It's that Jesus opens other doors. Now, let's look at who Jesus is. We have to understand that there is a Judaism, and it's of the devil. And there is a Christianity, and it's of God. And people get the two mixed up all the time. And women run around wearing jewelry. They wear the Star of David. And they're Christians. How can you possibly wear the satanic sex star, the six-pointed star, which is also known as the hex? The hex, witches use it to perform hexes on people. And you think you're a Christian. You can't do that, folks. And some people have the Jewish flag in their homes, in their churches. What is the Jewish flag? Well, it's the six-pointed star. How can you put the six-pointed star in your church or in your home or on your lapel? Many women wear it on their dress like a piece of jewelry. Don't you like my little picture of Satan here on my chest? Isn't that pretty? It stands for Satan. That's what it does. Now let's look at Judaizer and Zionist teachings. I say Judaizer because many people that are Christians believe in these teachings versus what the Bible says. First of all, to the Judaizer, to the Zionist, Israel is the focus of everything. Israel is God's time watch. Israel is everything. Watch Israel, you'll know world history. Say what? Israel is the focus. But in Christianity, Jesus is the focus. That's why things are dated A.D. after the coming of Christ Jesus. Jesus is the focus. The second Judaizer and Zionist teachings is of the Jewish Messiah. Well, the Bible says that Jesus is the Messiah. The Jews looked for a Messiah, but Jesus came as the Messiah of a kingdom greater than the Jews, a kingdom which encompasses actually the whole universe. Now, the Jews have an old covenant. Let's start with the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham was told by God, because of your faith, not because of anything he had done, but simply because of his wonderful faith. Because of your faith in me, I'm going to make you a great nation. In fact, a family of nations. In fact, all nations of the world are going to be blessed by you. How many nations? All. That's what the Bible says. But the Jews in their covenant said, now God made Abraham head of the Jewish nation. That's not all the world. That's not all the families of the earth. He blessed everybody. How did Abraham bless everybody? He was only a man. He died. He's not here on earth anymore. How did he bless all peoples, all nations? With his seed. Who are Abraham's seed? Well, the Judaizer, the Zionist teaching, is that the Jews are Abraham's seed. That's the Abrahamic covenant. That's a lie. In fact, God's saints are Abraham's seed. Abraham was given a covenant by God. He was said, you're going to be heir to a great fortune, which is heaven. That's the promise. You're the heir to it. Abraham did not look to Canaan. He did not look to Jerusalem. That didn't exist then. Go try to find it in the in the book of Genesis. Abraham was called out of Babylon. He was in Ur in the Chaldees, and he was called out of there, out of Samaria, which is part of Babylon. He's a Babylonian. And God said, I will bless you, and I'm going to bless your seed. Who is his seed? Well, the Zionists, the Judaizers, say that's the Jews. But what does the Bible say? The Bible, in Galatians chapter 3, and many other places as well, says that the saints are Abraham's seed. See, the Abrahamic covenant, people talk about replacement theology. I don't believe in replacement theology. The saints are always the saints. Now, Jesus was the mystery that became known. He came to earth. He brought his covenant. And Paul taught us that he was Abraham's seed. Galatians 3, verse 16, Paul said, the Jews teach you that there are many seeds of Abraham, but there's only one. There's only one seed. And who is that seed? Well, it's Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's Galatians 3, 29. Now, think of that, folks. In the Bible, God talks about the seed of Abraham. They're going to be the heirs to the promise. And what was the promise? That they'd have a nation called Israel, a physical nation, and a physical city called Jerusalem? No. No, that wasn't the promise. The promise to the seed was they would have an eternal kingdom, an eternal city. Heavenly Jerusalem. Paul said, here have we no continuing city. I was born in Fred, Texas. Right between Alice and Comfort, they say. I don't know. I think the old saying, I was born in Comfort between Alice and Fred. Well, I don't know about that, but. Yeah, a little town called Fred, Texas. That's not where I'm from. I was born again, you see. I was born again. And I was a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem. From that day forth, I became a citizen of heavenly Jerusalem. Here, I have no continuing city. Fred, Texas can be obliterated from the map. The state of Texas. Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. This whole continent can be filled up with ice again. There was the Great Ice Age thousands of years ago. We might have it again. It's looking like that right now. It didn't. Forget about global warming. It's global cooling. And Paul explained very carefully in the New Testament that Abraham did not look to a city here on earth, but he looked to a greater city, a greater country, a heavenly place. In fact, all of the great prophets and men of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Isaiah, all of them looked not to this earth, but to heaven. Now, I know Christians are constantly praying for Jerusalem, the peace of Jerusalem, and all these things. I think it's good to pray for the peace anywhere in the world. But your holy city is not Jerusalem on earth. In fact, did you know that earthly Jerusalem, according to Revelation, is Sodom and Egypt? That's what God calls it. Whoa. Well, Tex, that's the Holy Land. That's that holy city. I've been on a tour there. I tell you, it feels so holy. Well, it's not a holy city. It's one of the most wicked on earth. The two witnesses are going to go there and be slain, the Bible says, in Sodom and Egypt. That's what God calls them spiritually. Wow. Now, they have a Jewish temple they want to build there. The Jews say, we're going to rebuild our temple. We're going to build it. You can't stop us, Muslims. But God doesn't want a temple built in Jerusalem. It doesn't matter how big, how gaudy, how much material value it has. He has a temple built without human hands in heaven. Did you get that? Without human hands in heaven. Man. Under the Judaizer Zionist teachings, Jews are to judge the nations. The Jews will judge the nations. But the Bible says that Jesus will judge the nations. In their Talmud, in their Kabbalah, the Jews say that they are racially and spiritually superior to Gentiles. They're racially and spiritually superior. But the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. That's why Abraham was made, you know, the father. He has a family of nations. And Jesus is his seed. And we who are of Jesus are also the seed of Abraham. And we're heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:29. Do you know what an heir is? You're heir of Abraham. Remember when the Jews told Jesus, we're of our father Abraham? And Jesus said, no, you're not. Well, if you're born again in Jesus Christ, you can say, our father is Abraham. And Jesus will say, yes, indeed, you are. How is it you can call Abraham your father? It's because Abraham was faithful and you are faithful. Oh, I know you waver a little bit sometime. You're scared sometime. But that's just passing through. God knows your heart. He knows you're his saint. He knows you're the seed of Abraham. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priest. You're a child of God. You're an heir. Now, they sacrifice animals. They're planning on doing it again. Sacrifice animals. That's what they do if you're a Judaizer or you're a Zionist. Some say, yeah, Jesus is going to give them back their sacrifices again. They're going to start sacrificing animals again. That's good. The Jews are going to sacrifice the animals. We're looking for a red heifer right now. Well, you can just look all your life. Boy, make sure that he doesn't have that little spot on him. But the Bible says that Jesus is the one and only sacrifice. He sacrificed. He gave his life as a ransom for many, for you and me. Why would Jesus allow now sacrifices other than himself? The Jews will possess the land. That's what the Christians tell me. These evangelical weirdos. The Jews possess the land and they're going to set up a physical kingdom on earth. Jesus doesn't want that. Jesus does not want a physical kingdom on this planet. His kingdom is not of this world. Oh, he's going to come again. He's going to set things right. But he told Pilate, did he not? My kingdom is not of this world. In fact, he let the devil be God of this world for a short while. Small g. Now, the rabbis write the laws, the law, in their Talmud. It's got many volumes. I have it in software. It would be fill up my bookcase here. And the rabbis study it their whole lives. They don't even study the Old Testament. That's not what Judaism is all about. They don't even believe in the Old Testament. They believe in the Talmud. Who wrote the Talmud? Well, the rabbis did. The rabbis say that when God needs some spiritual or religious advice, he goes to the rabbis. He goes to the rabbis for spiritual advice. That's blasphemy. What does the New Testament say? It says that the laws are written by God in the hearts of the believer. Or believers, in your heart. He writes, There's entire books. I don't know. There's maybe an entire dictionaries. It's not that complicated. You simply ask God. It's like a computer, isn't it? I mean, you just punch Google it in and there it is. I guess God's like that too. I shouldn't even compare. God is greater than Google or some computer. How do you get redeemed if you're a Judaizer or you're a Zionist? Well, you got to obey the law. But then Paul said nobody's ever obeyed the law. Jesus said no one's ever obeyed the law. What are you going to do then? Well, you have faith in Jesus. That's what the New Testament says. Faith in Jesus. And you receive redemption by faith in Jesus. Abraham had it, and now we have it. The Jews say they're going to restore planet Earth. They have there's a plan for it called Tikkun Olam. They're going to restore planet Earth. Well, Jesus says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to make all things new. Behold, all things will become new. He don't want to restore earth. He's going to do better. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And then the Jews say, you know, if you're going to be a Jew, you got to be physically circumcised. You know what that is, physical circumcision. But the Apostle Paul said that what God required was spiritual circumcision. Spiritual. Now the Jews have their feasts, their holy days, their new moons. And many of these so-called Messianic Christians want to have the same things. Yeah, I'm observing Sukkot. I'm observing Passover. I'm observing, you know, whatever. Esther's birthday. No, there's no Esther's birthday. There is Purim, though, the festival of Esther. But Jesus is worshipped, and listen to me, hear me out, in spirit and in truth. And finally, the central mission. Zionism, Judaism have a central mission. Bless and support Israel and the Jews. I even have Christian pastors that say, if you don't support Israel, then you're going to go to hell. No. What is the central mission of the Christian? Is to preach the gospel. What gospel? Of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will go to heaven. Believe it. Preach it. Jesus said, go ye into all the nations. Preach it. Tell it to them. You will go to heaven. In fact, you're already headed there. It's not some place you're already brought nigh unto heaven. You're a citizen of it. If you know what the Bible says. Because the Jews will not judge the nation, Jesus will judge the nations. There's just some of the differences. Read the New Testament, you'll see them. I'm not asking you not to believe in the Old Testament. Read it and then see how everything is fulfilled in the New Testament. How it's just so incredible. And believe me, after you've read the New Testament and thought about it, you won't ever say Judeo-Christian again. You're not a Judeo-Christian. You're simply just a Christian. You're just a Jesus person. I'm Tex Mars. Been great to be with you today as we examine the evangelical heresy of Judeo-Christianity. I'll be back next week. God bless you, my friend.